I was thinking about singing the X-Men theme song again, but I was like, I'm not gonna do that. But we do have another fire X-Men episode. And I think the show is starting to really start to gel. It's doing it very quickly. We're getting a lot of dynamics in the show that we can play with for storytelling. Like the weird thing between Rogue and Magneto is going on. The idea that Bishop is a time traveler. And of course, the cliffhanger that we were left with the second episode pays off. And we do get Madeline Pryor, and we start seeing some of the issues that were connected between how Mr. Sinister cloned him, and we got the Cable storyline. It's getting really interesting. And we're only three episodes in.
Right. But we've only got 10 to go, or 10.
I will say this. These three episodes have been better than most of a lot of the Marvel stuff. Like, if Secret Invasion had this energy, imagine how enjoyable it would have been. You know?
Right. Yeah.
I do think that they set their bar so high that any kind of bad episode or weak episode is going to be jarring. So we got to keep our mind on that. But
true.
You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So far, so good. I really liked it. How about you?
It's really good. It's doing great. I can't put my finger on why this is so much better than the original, though.
I've got a couple ideas. I think that some of the maturity level's a little higher. I mean, it's definitely aimed for us. Like, in this episode, we got some pretty gross animated, like, gross visuals, you know? Like, it was some...
Yes.
Yeah, and two, but,
like,
I mean,
that's not what it is, though.
Well, maybe the older episodes were a lot faster paced than these episodes. I think these episodes are paced better.
I mean, these are pretty fast paced too.
Yeah, but
there's a lot
always,
going on this one.
But they kind of focus on one thing, you know. Like they kind of, I think the storytelling's pretty tight for these, as opposed to the old ones. That was just kind of dated. I don't know. Maybe the voice acting is better, the animation is better. It could be a lot different.
I don't want it to be like just aesthetics, but maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I mean, like, widescreen, 16 by,
4K doesn't look like it was transferred from a videotape.
That makes a difference. That helps. That makes a difference. It makes a lot of difference.
Right.
And plus, I just kind of feel like there's the storytelling is so tight. And I think the older episodes were good too, but I think the storytelling is so tight that it's just compelling as far as like next episode, let's keep this going. And it's working for you. The best storytelling techniques from the older episodes are being used here. There's no Deadwood. There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
But I guess we do have a lot of questions and a lot to discuss here. I want to start with Madeline Pryor for our listeners who might be a little confused or want to know more. So in the comics, Madeline Pryor did exist. She was a clone by Mr. Sinister, and he cloned her for the exact same reasons as the animated series discussed. He wanted to create a really super powerful being, and the purpose of this being is to fight Apocalypse in the future. That's what Mr. Sinister wants to do with Nathan. And in the comics, Nathan does get infected by a techno-organic virus. I don't know if he gets introduced to him like that, but he does have a virus when he's a baby, a virus like that, and he has to get sent to the future. But when he's sent to the future, it's not with Bishop, and he's sent to the far future. Bishop is like 20 or 30 years in the future, but Cable's sent like, maybe 100, maybe 200 years. He's sent pretty far. I like that they streamlined it. I think it's smart for them to streamline it. Having multiple times and different time travel and stuff would have been messy. So I like that they used Bishop to do that. Right. But it's not comic accurate, but I don't think that matters too much.
Yeah. Did Madeline Pryor go on to do anything else? Or, like, does she just kind of fade into the shadows?
Well, the last thing I heard about her is in the House of X-Men, she was there on in the X-Men Island, Kakwa, I think how you pronounce it. She was kind of in a love tangle with Havok, which is Cyclops' brother. Well, that's as far as I went. I didn't read that part. I mean, those comics are so dense. But the Goblin Queen stuff is interesting. That happened to Jean Grey, not Madeline Pryor, because Jean Grey had the Phoenix Force when she... So the Hellfire Club tried to brainwash Jean Grey and to use her as a weapon and make her into the Goblin Queen of the Hellfire Club. And if you don't know the Hellfire Club, the Hellfire Club is like a mutant-led, like Illuminati type deal. And Sebastian Shaw is in it, so is Mastermind and a few others.
It was briefly in one of the movies.
Yeah. Which movie?
I don't remember. The original, maybe? The first X-Men movie?
No, the Hellfire Club was in the first movie.
It had that Diamond Girl in it, so it was like one of the early ones, I think.
Is that Diamond Girl in it?
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you talking about?
I don't know. Her skin looks like diamonds.
Oh, that's the White Queen. Yeah, she is part of the Hellfire Club. But yeah. That was in that was in the reboot X-Men First Class. But did they refer to themselves as Hellfire? Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess they did refer to themselves as the Hellfire Club.
They said the name once, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But the Hellfire Club is far more interesting in the comics than it is in the movies. Anyway, Emma Frost is the White Queen, and I think they were trying to make Jean Grey the Goblin Queen, but it didn't turn out well for them. She kind of broke out and did all kinds of cool stuff.
Was the outfit the same?
Oh, yeah, the outfit was pretty like the same. Yeah. Yeah. So they're taking some pretty
all cool the things. All the people complaining about the lack of sex appeal in this cartoon.
Who's complaining about that?
You haven't seen that? Oh, apparently it's all over the internet.
Listen, the internet is more and more this nasty, gross wasteland that doesn't do anything. So, like, I don't really need to go in there and figure out what's happening. But I guess cartoons are supposed to have a sex appeal. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
like,
you got Rogue making
out with Gambit and Magneto left and right. What do you want? And, like, this should not be masturbation fuel for you. There's other avenues. I know that some states are starting to lock down hard on the pornography, but come on. Like, you shouldn't get upset if the X-Men 97 doesn't turn you on. I'm just saying that right now. There's other things to do. Like, it's kind
of
weird.
A lot of people were complaining that Rogue's outfit isn't as form-fitting.
Oh, man. Yeah, remember the days when you could, like, get like nice little all excited over the
like, anime. Why do you care about that so much? You know, I don't. Me? It doesn't make any.
No, sense. I don't know. Why?
Not you. I'm just saying people in general. Like, why?
I have no clue. I mean, comics in general have a thing about women's anatomies, especially the comics in the 90s, where they were, you know, all the women were voluptuous to say the least. Mm-hmm. I think that if you're a young man sitting in your mom's basement. And, like, having to order McDonald's because you can't make your own food. And I think that you just want some kind of sexy thing to look at 24 hours a day. I guess that's what it is. I don't know. I think that's very unhealthy. Like, that's a weird critique. Like, the X-Men 97 cartoon, anime series, is not sexual to me. These women are not sexualized enough.
Anyway, this episode should shut those guys up.
I mean, Bishop has huge arms. Maybe it's sexualized for women and not men. Oh, how the turns tables, you know? But Madeline Pryor didn't look sexual.
Goblin Queen was, the outfit was very...
Was it?
Yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention to that, Mike, because I'm not weird.
The outfit was very...
Anyway, there's also some other cool...
things along those lines.
Yeah. So, the thing is, in the comics, this is a big point. Madeline Pryor and Scott and Cyclops had Nathan. So Madeline Pryor is Cable's mother, but Jean Grey and Cyclops go into the future in some episodes in a comic and like raise him. So Jean Grey actually becomes his mother just by sheer action. So it's more nurture for Jean Grey than nature when it comes to his birth. But you know, it's still one of the same. Interesting factoid: this will probably come up. Cable is actually cloned. I mean, Nathan is cloned. In the future, he's cloned, and Cyclops uses his cloned self as a weapon known as Strife. So we might hear about that.
You got to start over. What?
In the future, where Cable was sent, he is cloned.
He's cloned after he's sent into the future?
Yes.
Okay.
That's it.
What about Cyclops?
What about Cyclops?
I thought you said something about Cyclops, too.
No, Cyclops.
No, just Cable. Cable gets cloned in the future.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Now, Cable, I was introduced to him in the Deadpool movie.
Yes. Which I think they casted very well.
Josh Brolin's good Cable.
Yeah, he looked like Cable. Yeah. They didn't explain his so if you looked at Cable, do you have a picture of him up? Why don't you get a picture of him up?
I can visualize Cable.
No, get a picture up. Get a picture of him up. Get a picture. Get a picture of him up. Get a picture.
All right, Cable. Deadpool. Man, that's gonna show me comic books.
That's fine. Good. I'm glad. Do you see his arm, his metal arm?
Yeah, he's got a metal arm. Yeah.
Okay, so that it's actually not
and, a eye. He has an eye that lights
it's up. It's actually so. Listen, this is important. That part of his body, the techno-organic virus took over. Okay, so that it's not
that green stuff that was on his skin in the
episode. So it's not a fake arm. It's actually his arm that turned to
kind of like fossilization.
Yes, kind of like that. And so the eye, same thing. The thing is, he uses his so Cable's abilities is telepathic and so it's like Jean Grey. So it's telepathic and telekinesis, but it's a little more powerful. Actually, more powerful. But because of the techno-organic virus, he can't use it as much. So he has because he's using his abilities to keep the techno-organic part of him in check, so it doesn't take over his whole body. And so that's why, so he's weaker because of that. That's why he uses weapons and stuff, because he has to use his abilities to kind of keep him in check. Very interesting.
Very cool. There was a Cable and Deadpool series of comics, apparently.
Yeah, ran a long time. And the first appearance of Deadpool was in New Mutants number 98, I think. And that was also where Cable first came out too, and that was done by Rob Liefeld, who is a terrible, terrible artist.
That's the guy that drew the Captain America that everybody talks about, right?
Yeah, his chest the size of a truck, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
I think that the X-Men 97 writers are taking a lot from. They're doing a couple of cool things. They're using the comics, and they're using the stuff that we understand from the comics. And they're also using the stuff from the anime series. And they're specifically kind of targeting the comics from the recent comics. And so, like, if you read House of X or the recent X-Men comics, you're seeing some of that influence a little bit here and there when it comes to, like, cloning, because that was part of House of X. And Mr. Sinister was in House of X. Cable was around. Madeline Pryor was a thing. So, like, it's like, hey, this show is for people who watch the original X-Men cartoons, but also, hey, you know what? If you read the comics, you'll like some of this stuff too. So it's good. It's good stuff.
Hmm. Cool. Hey, speaking of Bishop, you remember when, I guess the Goblin Queen was making everybody, like, hallucinate?
Mm-hmm.
Bishop had this blonde woman come out of, like, something and...
Yeah.
Start talking to him. Who was that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who was that?
His sister.
What?
Yeah, his sister.
She's in the future?
Yeah, she's in the future. Let me figure out her name real quick.
Who are her parents?
I don't know. Hang on.
Are her parents...
I don't know, man. I don't know. Don't ask me all that, because I don't know.
I'm sorry. I was getting Bishop and Cable confused.
Yeah. There you go. Hang on. Personal information. He has a sister, but I don't know who she is. I don't know where she is.
Yeah, I noticed she called him brother, but their skin tones are very different.
Wow. What? Huh. His sister is named Shard.
She's very pale.
Yeah, his sister's name is Shard. However, I don't know. Yeah, she has abilities. In the comics, she was around for a little bit. Her abilities were, she was a pyro photokinetic absorption and projection. Shard's mutant abilities allow her to absorb ambient light particles from her environment and convert them in a variety of effects. So Bishop's ability is to absorb energy and then redirect it out into powerful blasts. And I think his sister is kind of the same way. She was in the X-Men for a while too. It says here in the comics that she's dead, but who knows? Mm-hmm. And also, I have a little bit of beef with this episode as far as the logic concern. This is a small thing, but nerds need to be aware of it. Cyclops' optic blasts are kinetic energy, which is sort of like wind hitting your face.
Right.
And from what I
understand, are you talking about when Cyclops energized Bishop?
Yes.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, what's going on there?
From what I understand, that shouldn't be possible because he's not supposed to absorb kinetic energy. He's supposed to absorb other kinds of electromagnetic energy.
So what are Bishop's powers? What can he do?
I just told you.
Is that it? He can absorb power?
Let's say, for example, if you shoot a laser beam at him, he's going to absorb that and then redirect it out.
So that's his key. That's his main or only ability.
How many abilities do you want?
That's pretty good. I don't know. I mean, you know.
What do you want him to do? Tap dance for you? What do you want? What do you want him to do? I don't understand what you want him to do.
That's most of the mutants have a single ability.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody, yeah. I think if you think of Storm, she has one ability that's mostly multifaceted. She's like Omega level, so she's like super powerful. But Bishop's has got one ability. So it's fine.
Okay.
And it's situational. But Cyclops' abilities are supposed to be like not like kinetic power. So the beams that shoot out of his eyes cause concussive force, but it's not supposed to have heat connected to it or anything like that. But anyway, that's a small
thing. Yeah, but it's light. It's light. Like Bishop can absorb light.
I don't think it's light based. It's not light based. It's something else. It just looks that way.
But light is at the smallest level, it's kinetic.
Yeah, I don't want to argue about made-up superpowers too much here.
You don't? I mean, no, what, isn't that the whole thing?
You know, it could be, but anyway, I've never seen Cyclops and Bishop's powers interact that way before. Maybe right.
You've never seen Gambit charge up Wolverine's claws either.
Yeah, and so you make a really good point. The show is probably going to do other cool things with their powers like this. Like Rogue absorbing the abilities of a doctor so she could have Jean Grey's, Madeline Pryor's baby. So we've seen a couple different things like that.
I thought that was a little weird, to be honest.
How is that weird? Childbirth is not weird.
What are you talking about?
What's weird about
absorbing,
that?
Absorbing its knowledge.
Yeah, that's what she can do. That's her ability.
Well, she can absorb powers. I didn't know she can also absorb knowledge.
She can absorb the essence of a being.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, because didn't she absorb Marvel or Captain Marvel?
Yes. Carol Danvers' abilities, she did. That's why she can fly and has super strength.
Okay.
If she touches someone for too long, that's what's going to happen.
She actually became Captain Marvel or something like that, right?
I don't know about that. Let's not start saying crazy things. I don't think she became Captain Marvel.
But she fully absorbed Captain Marvel, basically.
Yeah, she absorbed a lot of... But the thing is, the reason why the writers of the comics had her do that is because Rogue didn't have a lot of powers. Like, being able to absorb people's essence is not a superhero power. But given Rogue flight and super strength, that's interesting.
It's kind of cool, though. I think it's cooler.
Oh, I love Rogue. I'm on the Rogue train. I think she's awesome.
Yeah, Rogue's awesome.
I think she's underused 100%. Right. It's cool. I think in the comics, her abilities has changed somewhat or quite a bit. But I'm not sure how. The last time I read about her in the X-Men comics, it was a whole thing. It was a lot going on.
All right, tell me about Mr. Sinister.
What about him?
I recognize him. I remember those, like, tendrils coming off of his suit.
What
would you call that? That's, like, really, like, that's super fringe. You know the jackets people used to wear with all the fringe on it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Sinister is a weird one for me, man. He's like really old, and he kind of deals with genetic stuff. So
Worf tells us he's from the 1800s.
Yeah, he constantly wants to use mutants' abilities and genetics to do different things. But from
what you don't remember what he did to Morph in the original series, do you?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
And from what I gather, Mr. Sinister. Some of his powers was given to him by Apocalypse, or he was used by Apocalypse in some way.
Mm-hmm.
And so now Mr. Sinister is sort of like trying to deal with Apocalypse or trying to I think Mr. Sinister wants to create the perfect genetic line. So he's like, so it's like, if you think of Apocalypse as like Adolf Hitler, then Mr. Sinister is like one of Nazi weird. This like metaphor fell apart.
Goebbels or something like that.
Yeah, there you go. Very good. Mr. Sinister has done some really bad stuff. So there was a storyline called The Inferno where he got a bunch of really bad mutants and went down to the sewers and killed a ton of Morlocks that lived down there because he thought the Morlocks were inferior. And it was really rough. It was one of the reasons why it's one of the reasons why Angel lost his wings during the Inferno series. So it's pretty crazy.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
So he's done a lot of crazy stuff. The last, the most important or weird thing that we've seen lately is in the House of X. This is going to be complicated, but I'll try to explain it best I can. In the House of X, Professor X made a deal with Mr. Sinister to help clone dead mutants. So let's say that a mutant dies.
Mm-hmm.
Professor X has Cerebro constantly sort of like mind reading every mutant. So every like 12 hours, he'll read the minds of a mutant.
That's creepy.
But he logs it into like a file. Mm-hmm. And let's say that if that mutant is killed in a hate crime, Professor X, in a bunch of different ways and using Mr. Sinister, can clone that mutant and bring them back to life.
Okay.
And that actually happened to a number of mutants in the series. Professor X was murdered and brought back to life. A few other people were too. And so it's like the idea that if you were a mutant, you were basically immortal was a big part. And it actually brought back a lot of mutants that were killed in old storylines through that way too. If you haven't read House of X, and if you're liking what you're seeing with X-Men 97, you pick up House of X. It's really good.
I don't like that. That's creepy, dude.
So my thing about the cloning stuff they did in House of X, my question was, is that person even alive, or is it just like a clone of them? You know, they bring
them alive. Is Madeline Pryor alive? Is she?
That's a great question. I don't think we have the intelligence or the immoral intelligence to really have that argument about cloning yet.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's Mr. Sinister. He's got a lot. It's a lot deeper than that, but that's all I got for now.
Okay. Why does Bishop have an M on the side of his face?
In the future, if you're a mutant, you get branded. So that M, it stands for mutants on his face like that. I think it's some kind of genetic marker too, so people can find out where you are too.
Interesting. Okay. So there's lots of people in the future walking around with the M on their face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. At the end of the episode, Storm runs into a guy in a bar. It's Forge.
Forge! Yeah, awesome.
I know about Forge from when I read the Marvel Zombies comic.
Mm-hmm.
He's in there.
Yeah.
How the heck can he help Storm?
We don't know yet, but he probably has some kind of machine that he builds. Forge's
ability... he just builds stuff, right?
Forge's ability is to build machines. He can build any machine.
He's a really good mechanic.
No, it's more than that. So let's say if someone says, hey, I need a flying spaceship, Forge can build it. Or he's like, I need a water bottle that will continuously absorb air from the atmosphere and refill my water bottle. He can build it. Anything he thinks he can build. The only limitations is the materials around him. But he can build anything.
How would you use that to restore Storm's powers?
Well, he can make a machine to restore her powers. Duh.
Let's make a machine to restore powers.
That's his mutant. He can do that. 100%. He can do it.
A little far-fetched. If that's what happens, that seems a little far-fetched to me.
Okay. We have people flying around, and we have clones of people, and techno gang, but that's...
Like,
that's
he doesn't...
That's your line. That's my... I don't buy it. That's a little far-fetched to me. Right. What's up with this accent? I don't know what it is.
No, I like that she has the accent. I remember the accent. I forgot she had an accent.
No, it was actually talking about my accent.
Your accent. Oh, okay. That's okay.
Forge and Storm had a little fling-ding back in the day. They were supposed to get married, but Forge called it off because he didn't think Storm loved him, but she did. But he's
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And you know
who think else that'll happen again?
They're going to explore this a little bit, 100%. But there's also two other people that she had little romantic things with. Bishop for a little while, sort of, and Cable.
Storm and Cable?
There was a little. There was a time.
That's a little weird. That's a little.
There was a
weird.
Time in the Cable comics where she was in the comics quite a bit, and they had a very now, interesting.
Do people know that Cable is the son yes, of Jean absolutely. Grey? And...
Yes.
Hmm.
What? Come on.
Did Storm know that?
Yeah, Storm knew that. I don't think they did anything.
Okay.
And even if they did, they're grown adults. Just because he's a kid in the present doesn't mean he's a grown man in the future. Let's do it.
Yeah, but it's his it's her best friend's son.
So what? If you worry about that kind of stuff, you'll never have a little action. But no, they're going to Forge and Storm will definitely have a little
fling. I am worried about that kind of stuff.
And I will say
I'm all right.
I will say this. I am okay with Storm coming back with her powers sooner rather than later. I don't want to wait.
We don't need that to drag that out. Storm.
I don't want to wait very long without Storm.
We've already had one episode.
Yeah, that's enough. Yeah. Actually, it was kind of crazy to me how much I missed her. So yeah, bring her back.
Right. Yeah.
Morph
turns into a bunch of different characters in this episode.
He turns
Can you tell
into
us about some of them.
Yeah, he turns into Yelena, I think how to pronounce it. Oh, no, Ileana. So, Ileana. Ileana.
That's the blonde girl at the end, right?
Yeah. Well, he turns into her twice. One, Ileana is just a regular, is her new mutant kind of costume with the sword. But then when he changes bad, it's Ileana's dark side. Ileana is a mutant that went to hell for a long period of time. And she was like the queen of hell for a while. So it was a whole thing. And Ileana's mutant is Colossus's sister. That's why she was speaking Russian. She's a fan favorite. People love her. Fans absolutely love her. Yeah. So I think she died, but I think she came back. She's alive now. And I think I'm not sure what she's doing, but she's pretty cool character. I like her too. I'm not sure what her abilities are, but you know, the sword is not cosmetic. I think the sword is a part of her abilities. It's something that she can form.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's what he was. And like, if you look, Morph changes into a lot of cool X-Men. Like, there was one. Did you see that one where which the person had like six arms?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about next. You know who that is?
I forget. Her name is. She is from the Mojo Verse, and her name is not Lady Shiva. I forget what her name is. It's going to drive me nuts if I don't look it up. Mojo Verse.
Were there any others that he changed into this time?
Hang on, don't. This, he does that. He does a lot of change, which is cool. Oh, I forget how ugly Mojo is. Hang on.
Morph is way cooler in 97 than he was in the earlier ones.
Oh, yeah. Spiral. Her name is Spiral. Spiral. We're going to see a lot more of him. I think the show writers are going to use Morph to kind of show us a bunch of different mutants that we like. Like, it's and it's going to be like, hey, he's just changing that mutant. Hey, he just changed that mutant. So we're going to see that a lot. It's going to be really fun.
Morph was a little bit lonely in this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I know that in the original series.
You think he'll find a love interest during the season?
Well, it's a they.
I mean, I'm sorry. Right. That's what I meant. Do you think they will find a love interest during the season?
I don't know. Who would be interested in Morph? Do you believe with Roberto?
Roberto's back. Roberto's back.
Yeah, that was very unceremonial. He was just showed up.
Well, I mean, that's how it would happen, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
He just show up.
Yeah, I don't know who's going to do a little, you know, kissy kissy with maybe Wolverine, maybe Logan.
Could be.
That whole thing, you know, that Wolverine thing and Jean Grey thing is a whole mess, dude. Like, it's like, come on, man. Like, get over it, Logan. She's not. She's going to be with Scott. She loves
Scott.
I mean,
they have a baby now.
Yeah.
So. Oh yeah. Okay.
Let me ask you a question. This is the thing, okay?
Okay.
At the end of the episode, you had Jean Grey and you had Cyclops kind of sitting there in the bedroom, kind of staring at each other. Here's my question. Was it right for Cyclops to spur Madeline Pryor when he found out she was a mutant? And is it right for him to embrace the quote-unquote real Jean Grey now?
You mean when he found out she was a clone?
I have some serious problems with how he treated Madeline. I have some serious problems about that.
Well,
I mean, come on. Like, he loved her then. What's the difference
between No. I totally get that. But if you just found out that your wife
is a clone,
turns out she's not the age she should be. She's like actually 5 years old. You'd be a little bit
the age has nothing shocked to do with
and standoffish.
It. No, I wouldn't.
Well, not her body's age. Her body, like, she's only existed for 5 years.
Is that what would put me off?
But you've known her longer than that.
I think the question is,
you wouldn't be a little bit like, let's,
No. So if my wife was cloned 5 years ago, and mm-hmm. then my real wife showed up, and she's like, I'm the real Jarvis's wife, and you've been with this clone for 5 years.
Right.
I would... Oh, God, what a moral problem.
Yeah, dude.
That's hard.
Yeah, you'd be a little bit like, your mind would be blown. I think that's where he was at.
Yeah, that's true.
He wasn't like spurring her. He's just like, let's figure out what's really going on here.
And Madeline did leave. So at the end of the scene, she didn't even give Scott.
He gave her space, you know, like he wasn't like, you can't hold it. You can't have our son. You know, he knew it was her son. It was her son. So
yeah, I don't know. That's crazy.
I mean, I think he handled it basically as well as you could.
In the future, Mike, if
I don't think Storm would have believed her.
I do.
Storm would have believed her.
Yeah, in the future, when like someone's loved one gets killed, and we can clone them and bring them back, like how are we going to deal with that? Like, oof, what a heart. I don't like the future. I don't want a clone wife. I like my wife.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Anyway. Anything else you got? I thought it was another successful episode.
My daughter's watching it with me again.
Yes. Is she starting to warm up? She's back into it.
Yeah.
Dude, yes. I'm fine with having your daughter on the podcast. We don't have to give her a name.
Culture got her into it.
Yeah, we don't have to give her a name. We can just have her on the podcast. Maybe the last episode would be fun.
Right.
She's not going to do that.
I highly doubt it.
That's the corniest thing you could do is do an X-Men 97 podcast with your dad.
Right.
That's corny. That's the corn level. That's
yeah, funny. No, that, I don't think that would happen.
No. Before we wrap up this segment, we got a little bit of traction on the threads. About one of our little threadlings. Is that what they call them? Threadlings? What do they call them?
They call them threads.
Oh, that's stupid. So what happened? What? Because I'm not on threads for a lot of reasons. So what happened?
We have an account on threads. We're on threads. We're on Mastodon. Hit us up on whichever one. On threads, we're sharing like a little factoid about all of the X-Men. We shared one about Jean Grey. People loved it or they hated it. So got a lot of traction. It was fun talking to people.
Yeah, and to be
it was about the fact that she doesn't really have an alias.
No, she doesn't. And that's okay.
But everybody wanted to let me know that she has had aliases. She just goes by Jean Grey. That's the thing, though. You know.
Yeah, she doesn't have a heart. Like Cyclops, the alias has been Cyclops since the beginning, but she's.
She's been Marvel Girl. She's been, I can't remember what else. Lots of Marvel Girl.
Yeah, and she was also called the Phoenix for a while too.
That's the other one. Sorry,
I'm not really sure.
Did anybody actually call her that?
They called her Phoenix when she had the Phoenix Force. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But the weird thing is, I don't know why they can't just give her a name and be done with it. I don't know why they did that.
I always thought it was interesting that like everybody else in the X-Men has an alias and she just goes by her name. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of neat.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Jubilee kind of goes by her name.
Jubilee goes by her name, no problem.
I mean, like, it's Jubilation Lee, but yeah, Jubilee's kind of her name.
Mm-hmm. You know, they could call Jean Grey, they could call her Grey.
I don't like that.
No, me neither. All right, we're done. All right, yeah. So yeah, if you're on threads, interact with us, hang out with us, argue with us. That's fine with us because we're right and you're wrong, and that's just how it is. We got some news you can't abuse. Mike, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. First up, Marvel Studios is now referring to the movie as Thunderbolts with an asterisk. But they are filming. There is some. We did see Florence Pugh on set in her Yelena outfit, and they're filming it. So that's right. The more and more I think about this, the less and less this is going to be a Thunderbolts movie. And I almost promise you, it's not going to be called Thunderbolts. So
this I think the asterisk means they're going to change the name.
Yes.
This is now like Avengers 5.
Yes.
They've had to change their plans. The multiverse saga isn't going the way they wanted it to, or they originally thought it would.
Yes.
Thunderbolts isn't going to be a Thunderbolts movie.
No.
I am over here with my fingers crossed that it becomes a Florence Pugh movie instead of, hey, here's, you know, 10 people that some of them you care about and most of them you don't.
My guess is they're going to call it the New Avengers or something like that, and it's going to be... Here's the deal, because they've already said, we've already heard from press releases and stuff that they want the franchise stuff to work. And the Avengers franchise was very helpful, very popular for them. And so I almost guarantee.
Do you think maybe they're throwing out some of the cast and pulling in like Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye and stuff like that?
Right here, right now, this movie, whatever they're filming, is going to be called Avengers. It's going to be called that because everybody's going to know what it is and they're going to go see it.
Right.
So
you have a very solid take influenced by business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I was a CEO at Disney,
right,
I would be like, this is stupid. Nobody even knows what Thunderbolts is. I do know what other people think. They know what Avengers is. So we're going to call it the Avengers or New Avengers or Avengers the New Class or Avengers Dark Storm. I don't care what you call it. It better have the word Avengers on it or you're fired. And that's 100% true because they need people to go see this movie. And if it doesn't have a tagline that people recognize, it won't work.
I was hoping it was going to become a Black Widow movie.
They might call it Black Widow, but again, I mean, I don't know. Here's my take. They want to start kind of fresh, and by calling this an Avengers movie or making this an Avengers movie, they're kind of starting fresh.
I like the Avengers take.
That's my take.
My heart wants it to be a Black Widow movie, but I also like the Avengers take.
I mean, to be fair, Mike, this X-Men 97 thing is very successful for them because like X-Men 97, you know what it is. It's not confusing, right? When you think about a lot of the other properties that they've been doing lately, the only reason why it's kind of worked for them is because people have a connection to these characters. But the connection from Iron Man 1 to now has been so long that people are starting to lose the quote-unquote thread of it. So I think that from a Disney standpoint, using like the key names like Thor, Captain America, Avengers, Doctor Strange, the ones that people know and went to the movies to see, that makes more sense to me. And I think it makes more sense for them for a business standpoint.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see how it works out. Next up, the Fantastic Four movie will be in a different universe than the main MCU movies. There it is. I don't know anything more than that.
Where's that coming from?
A Reddit piece that has a picture of a Hollywood handle. I mean, it's verified. It's fine. Actually, I don't think it's verified, but it's verified enough. I believe it.
Well, we know it's going to be taking place in a different time period. Like it's in the 60s or something like that.
Yeah, I kind of feel like it could be in a time period, in a universe where it's like 60-ish. So it's like the time is the same for us, but it's like the 1960-ish time. Like, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But it's smart for them to put the Fantastic Four in a different universe to kind of not have to drag all the old school stuff in with it.
Right.
That's my thing with it.
Were they planning on doing this originally as part of the multiverse saga? Do you know?
Now, I have no idea. I don't know. We just found out, we talked about this last week, that they just started having showrunners. So I'm pretty sure that Kevin Feige had some notes in his pocket about, Fantastic Four, I don't know what's going to be. It's going to be part of the multiverse saga. Like he was just making up as it goes. But now they're doing like actual planning and show running, so it's going to be a little different. That's the news you can't abuse. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty stoked about next episode for X-Men 97. Storm's back. It'll be a Storm-centered thing. Yeah, we'll see it next week. Wednesdays, it comes out on Wednesdays, and we always record on Thursday, so you can hear our hot fire takes. That's right. Mike, how can these people listen to our podcast, send their podcast, this podcast to other people, discover us and discover what we're trying to do here?
There's a new website called episodes.fm. You can find us there. That'll let you listen to our podcasts. Any way you listen to podcasts, that's the way to do it. Go to episodes.fm, find us there.
Is the link in do we have a link at the bottom? Do we have a
link in the show notes? We will. We will. So episodes.fm, that's a good way to find us. It's also a good way to share us. Like if you're sharing and you're not using that share button, you can go to episodes.fm and get a nice friendly link to share with your friends.
Cool.
The same link will work for however they listen. If they listen with Apple Podcasts or Spotify or Overcast, doesn't matter. Same link from episodes.fm will get them there.
Wow, so, cool.
It's cool stuff, yeah.
That's new, awesome. So definitely check that out, awesome.
We're on Threads. We're on Mastodon.
Argue with us on the internet. Maybe we'll do a live chat or something soon where people can just kind of chime in and talk to us about stuff. That'd be kind of fun. All right. We're good, guys. And we'll see you next week for some more X-Men 97.